As we begin our chapel service this morning, we have a prayer request. This is from David Schuyler. His younger brother, Adam, is 18 years old. He's a student at Bemidji State University, and apparently as part of their intramural program, he had an accident, broke his collarbone, and he will be having surgery today. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have promised to be our defender and our helper in all of our need. We come before you now on behalf of your servant, Adam. We pray that you would be with him through this surgery and guide the hands of those who care for him. Grant him a speedy recovery so that he may continue to live his life as an offering of glory to your name. We ask this all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn, please, now to page 182. And on page 182, you will find Psalm 67. One of the themes of the Epiphany season is that of missions. Remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the church is to reflect his light in the world, and we have done this. Christianity, it's amazing, has survived for almost 2,000 years. The story of his gospel has been spread in all times and all places and all generations, across all cultures and through all kinds of different languages. This psalm, Psalm 67, already written in the Old Testament, of course, captures the spirit of that idea that God's people indeed have been blessed and they are to be a blessing to the world. And of course, the greatest blessing that we offer to the world is that message of grace. Before we sing the whole psalm, I'd like us to warm up a little bit. Start with verse number 1. We're all going to sing it together.
Here we go.
The book of Psalms, of course, were important to the church and were also very important to the reformers. At the dawn of the Reformation, people like Martin Luther, who had had the experience of life in the monastery, knew the Psalms very well. In fact, one of his first jobs when he was hired to teach at Wittenberg was to lecture on the Psalms. It's interesting also to remember that as part of his monastic experience, they would have sung all 150 Psalms, not once a month, but once every week. They would go through the entire book of Psalms. So given the way that his mind apparently was able to pick up on things, I think he had that ability. By the time he'd gone through the Psalter a number of times, four times a month, he knew those words pretty well. And actually was one of the places where he discovered the keystone to his understanding of the gospel, especially in the fact that the psalmist was always rejoicing in God's righteousness. And Luther saw God's righteousness as something to be afraid of, because he was a sinner and he knew he would be judged because of that righteousness. How could the psalmist rejoice in that? And little by little, the light came on, and he began to understand that righteousness in light of the cross. Turn now to hymn 591. This is Martin Luther's paraphrase of the psalm that we just finished singing. And if you notice the text, you see that it follows the psalm quite carefully. The only change really is there in the last verse where he invokes the Trinity as a part of the psalm. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit bless us. Paraphrasing, of course, also the Gloria Patri. Now, this hymn, or chorale, as we call them in the Lutheran tradition, is written in something called the bar form. And the bar form was a poetic blueprint that a poet or a musician was expected to follow. An example that I frequently mention is the haiku. A lot of us learned how to write haiku at some point in our grade school curriculum, and you know you have to have a certain number of syllables, a certain number of syllables, and a certain number of syllables. I don't remember what they are. If you're going to write a sonnet, you also have to follow a very specific blueprint. And likewise with the bar form. It's called that. It has nothing to do with the place where you get pretzels and beer. It refers to the poetic structure. And this particular poetic structure was really beloved by the Lutherans at the beginning. They used it a lot. It was a secular model, a model that would have been more appropriate perhaps in the court as courtly music, or performed in a place like the Wartburg by the old Meistersinger, the master singers of old. And so what we do is we have a melody that repeats, and then new musical information and material as we go on. I'd like us to start with the bottom line of the first verse, that we his saving health may know.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.